Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Send the
raining
down.
Raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Ministries, and we are breaking the yokes of bondage. I want to thank God for each and every one that's on the air on this morning with us. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and this is Blog Talk Radio, April the 14th. Can you believe it? We've already it's already April the 14th. Wow, this month is going along real fast, certainly this year. And this weather is something else. But God knows, and He is working it out. And certainly we thank God for His presence all in nature and all around us. So just a couple of announcements before we get into the lesson. We will have another mental health class on April the 20th, 2018, this year. The location is at 8600 South Bishop. And this class will start just a little bit later. We're trying something a little bit different. Instead of starting at 10 o'clock, we're going to start at 11 o'clock. We still are going to get out early, but it leaves a little bit more room for those that maybe want to step in during their lunch period or want to step in and just hear some solutions or gather some resources. And also, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we are in our empowerment classes, and certainly they are held at 1750 West 103rd Street in room 10. If you're interested in those classes, just give me a call at 309-750-7584 and we can get you the information. But I will encourage all that want to come, you will find more of the teaching that we're doing today. So with that being said, we are going to get into our lesson. Now, I thank God that those of you on the line on this week, last week, we were not able to be on the line. I think certainly there was a lot going on in way of a testimony. I had to take my mother to the emergency room, and she's doing much better. We thank God for his intervention. And certainly he is still a God that's on the throne. I don't know about you, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah, because there's nobody like God. Certainly we are in April again, as I said, but we are still, we're in the beginning of this month. April 1st was Easter or Resurrection Sunday, so it's okay to celebrate Jesus a little bit more. And certainly we celebrate him all the time, because if it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? And that ties into the topic that we're talking about today. We're talking about growing in grace, dying to sin and living to righteousness. What does that mean? What are you saying, Dr. Carey? Well, we're going to read some scriptures, and let me read some scriptures here. First Peter 2:24. Who has own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes ye were healed. And another scripture that caught my eye, and we're going to be talking about a little bit more in this lesson, but Psalms 119:93, it says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So we're talking about growing in grace, dying to sin, living to righteousness. How does that happen? We understand, we confess our sins, hallelujah, praise God. We confess our sins, we ask God for forgiveness, we confess Jesus as our Savior, and of course that begins the process of salvation. And then we walk in that process. But as we gather in this process and we read the book, and yet there is still a growing process. There's still some things that take place. Now, what do you mean? Now, I want to define or give you a definition for growing. It says, of a living thing undergo a natural development by increasing in size and changing physically, and progressing to maturity. So as we see, if you remember back, and some of us have to go way back, some of us don't have to go as far back, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We can look and we can say, well, I once was young, but now I'm old, hallelujah. And we can see and we can look at the process of development when we see a baby, how it grows up, and we see the stages of development. We see that the baby starts out, is born, and then you grow into adulthood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that is growing. So then you have grace, and I thank God for grace. God's grace. You know, it is simply the elegance or a goodwill. It's also something that's unmerited, something for us as Christians, we believe that it's the free, unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and bestowed upon his blessings, grace, hallelujah, God gives freely. You know that favor when you go into the store and you get something, or you go into a bank and you trying to process business and you think it's going to be difficult, but some kind of way the grace of God moves on the person that you're working with, and it's just simple, and the transaction is over before you know it. And that person might tell you, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, that's God's grace working for me. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about growing in grace, dying to sin and living to righteousness. You know, so we have to learn to walk upright. That is a process. You know, we make many mistakes, and that's why the Bible says, if we look over in Matthew, and the Bible teaches us how to pray, and, you know, everybody know that prayer that starts out, Our Father, and then in that prayer it talks about, Lord, forgive us of our transgressions or our debtors. Because in essence, we don't get it right at the first time. Just like a baby has to be taught, just like that growth and development, just like that infant starts out as a baby and then it matures into adulthood. And if you would be honest with yourself, you can say, as an adult, I made some stupid mistakes. Ooh, praise the Lord, that hit me right there. I made some mistakes that if I could do it over again, then the mistakes I made back when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have made. And that's why, and I want to say a sidebar, we got to pray for our millennials. We got to pray for our nieces, our nephews, our sons and our daughters that are in the workforce. And those millennials are those individuals that are in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s. Because right now they are making the crucial decisions that are going to affect their lives. And we certainly know that they are our future, and we must cover them in the blood of Jesus. So, walking or learning to walk upright. So let's answer this question. Why did Christ come to this earth and die? I talked about we're still in the resurrection month, so talking about Christ, and we talk about Christ all the time because he is the reason. You know, some in Christmas you hear this saying, he's the reason for the season. Well, dear, he is the reason for everything that we do, hallelujah, because he made it possible for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge and grow upright and forsake sins and cling to righteousness. So it was, of course, because man was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's why Christ came. So if we look at Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, we can sum it up in 6 points. There are none are righteous, none who understand, none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, which is 4. 5, they have become useless. And 6, no one does good. So if we take that into account of our lives now, even as we are growing, even as we are striving to be like Christ, because there is a daily application, there's a daily effort that we must make on a daily basis to apply ourselves to walk upright before him. There is an effort that we must make in order to become what Christ wants us to be. Now, if we go on down to Romans chapter, same chapter, and we look at verse 23, sums up those 6 points, and I will encourage you to read Romans chapter 3 on your own time. It says, and we sum it up, to societal problems. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And if we look at society, and if we turn on the news and we look at the present state, and the present state of affairs. I was thinking about the White House, y'all. But if we look at what we're dealing with now, if we look at how society treats or looks at what's right versus what's wrong, we have begun to accept, we have lowered our standards, so anything and everything is okay. So if we look at John 8 and 34, and we can say that man is a slave to sin, and if we look at society today, anything and everything goes. Men and women have lost more concern for others. They don't mind taking your stuff. They don't mind carjacking you. They don't mind killing you for what they want. They don't mind assaulting you physically, assaulting you, raping. They don't mind because of sin. So man is a slave to sin, and sin will make a man do the abominable. And James 1 and 15, as a result of sin, there is death. So this world is dying daily. You know, if we, the Bible says the Lord is on his way back, and we don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord shall appear. And if, but he gave some signs. He said, you don't know when, but I tell you what, I'm going to give you some signs. There's going to be rumors of war, and there's going to be war. There are going to be mother against daughter, father against son. And certainly we're not going to know the seasons. And if we were to look out of our doors and understand that very thing is true, because we don't know the season. We're supposed to be in spring, but we still need a weather coat. So there's a lot going on. And we are the representation of Christ, and we're trying to get to where we need to be in him. So we're growing in grace and in his knowledge, and we're forsaking sin, and we're living to righteousness. Now, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, we no longer walk according to the course of this world. And that's my point today, if you don't get anything else. I want you to understand that we're no longer walking in the course of society. We are to look different. We are to speak different. But yet we need to be able to blend in to show this world that Christ is still relevant. And certainly, that's almost like a catch-22. But by grace, through faith, and I'm going to read this word, and ye were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. 3, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So we can see that we are no longer part of this world because we have been accepted over into the family of Christ Jesus. And we are walking according to the standards and the biblical scriptures that we read on a daily basis. And we have to read those scriptures on a daily basis, because if we don't read them, if we don't meditate, if we don't find ourselves practicing, if we don't find ourselves in prayer, if we don't find ourselves seeking more of Him, if we don't find ourselves meditating, if we don't find ourselves worshiping Him. And certainly this is just a refresher course for those that are on the line, and I thank you for being on the line, and certainly I pray that you'll support, and I'll ask for your continued prayer. We have to seek the more of Him, because we have to be able to stand fast when the world is dying and when the world is saying and going against the biblical standards that the Bible tells us. The Bible says love, not hate. Ooh, the Bible says love, not hate. And, of course, that is kind of the Sunday school lesson coming up, because God asked Peter, do you love me? If you love me, he asked him three times, did he love him? And, of course, Peter said, Lord, you know I did. He said, well, then feed my sheep. You got to love me more than anything else. I've got to be the first in your life. You got to love me more than family. You got to love me more than title. You got to love me more than your position. You've got to love me. Hallelujah, Christ Jesus. And that's where we got to be. So we have been bought by a price. Philippians 2, 7, and 8 gives us three things that Christ did when he came to earth. We can look at verse 7 and we can sum it up with these words. He emptied himself. He took the form of a bondservant and he became. And he became and took the appearance of man. And then when we look at verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So in essence, we are growing in grace, and we are dying to sin, and we're living to righteousness. But what does that look like? Of course, God says, he asserts his holiness. He says, I am holy, and therefore we must be holy. He demands conformity to holiness. So we must die to ourselves. We must die to this world's way of thinking and believing. Hallelujah. Because we don't want God as our enemy. James 4 and 4 reads, and this is the messenger's verse. And it starts at 4 and goes on to 6. You are cheating on God. If all you want in your own way is flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you find. It is common knowledge that God goes against the willful pride. God gives grace to the willing humbly. So when we look at this and we look at the fact that sin is death, Romans 3 and 23, we look at sin and will put us as an enemy to God, James 4 and 4, that it will also subject us to the power of Satan, 1 John 5 and 19. It will make us helpless in Romans 5 and 6, and even death, Romans 6 and 23. So we are to grow in God's grace and mercy. And we need to follow that concept every day. We are to ask God to lead us and to guide us. And there is a struggle with our own flesh because our flesh don't want nor is it saved. But certainly God is there to move us past our own wills. But we must, and certainly he does give us free will, so he gives us a choice. And if you choose to go left, he will let you go left. But if you choose to follow his guidance, then he certainly will lead and guide you. He will direct you. He will tell you what direction that you need to go. And there are some days when we just don't feel like moving forward as God said move. There's some days when life will hit us, when trials and tribulations will come, where we will struggle in our own choice to make the right decision. Because when we see the world and we see how the world reacts, then there is a tendency to go with what is natural and go with what is common. You know, nobody wants to be the odd man out. So if the crowd is saying no when you should say yes, then we will say no with the crowd. But God requires sacrifice. Growing in grace and dying to sin requires a commitment on our part to step up to Christ and say, I want to live for Christ, and therefore to die to this world is gain, and I must commit myself to growing. I must commit myself to moving past what I think is right and seeking the Lord for his guidance and direction as he tells me what is right. And certainly God will lead and guide us because he's never failed us yet. So, Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Sometimes the enemy will make you think that you don't have life, but we have life. I was going to leave with Romans 5 and 14 and 16, but I want you to read it on your own because we're running out of time. But I want to sum up what we've been talking about today. Growing in grace, dying to sin and living to righteousness. So, first of all, God is holy and we must be holy. And in order to be holy, we must follow the precepts and the example that Jesus gave. And we must allow him to lead and to guide us. And there's sacrifice. That means that we have to push past our pain because there are some days when we don't want to be in fellowship with anyone, not even the Lord. But we must push past our pain, push past what we feel, and get into a relationship of praise and worship and meditation. And daily devotions is essential. We must get up in the morning and we must thank God for rising us. Because had not been for the Lord in our lives, we certainly could have went on to judgment in our sleep. But thereby being the grace of God who allowed us another opportunity to wake up this morning. And we are to give him reverence and glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I magnify you, Lord, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Because once we call on the name of Jesus, our time is running out. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you for this lesson. We thank you, God, for those that have been on the line, those that have took it out their time to be here with me on this morning. I pray, God, that you allow this word to meditate in their minds and their hearts. I pray, God, that you allow them to apply this word to their lives. And God, I thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace, God, and continue to bless them throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All of you, that have just tuned in, or all of you, give me a text and let me know, 309-750-7584, if there's something or a topic that you want to hear, or you just have comments on the lesson today. I welcome your comments. And those of you in the Chicago area, if you don't have anything to do, meet me at 706 West 95th Street at Spring Forth Ministerial Church. We're going to have a time in the Lord today, so you come on down and be with us today at 4 p.m. Again, we're growing in grace. We're dying to sin, and we're living to righteousness. So every time the enemy tries to bring you something that your spirit, that the spirit of God that's inside of you says, listen, my beloved, and know that God is working it out for you. Thank you. God bless. See you next week. Bye-bye.